The industry is
doomed.
Hello and welcome to The Industry is Doom. I'm Michaela Gorman.
I'm Blake Hunsley.
And we are here to talk about newsing things.
We're here because we're probably riled up to varying degrees.
Varying degrees, yeah.
You because you came into this riled up and told me I should read Barbara Kay's column, and then me because I subsequently got a bit riled up. But
Yeah. Well, you know, reading Barbara Kay or anything in the National Post will do that for... listeners, I'm familiar.
Stop broad stroking. No, like...
Barbara Kay is a columnist with the National Post, and she's been there so long that she essentially gets to run editorial for the whole damn place.
At the end of this, I said, this article is weird and lazy, and you said, it's Barbara Kay.
It's Barbara Kay.
So I was like, okay. No, okay, what's the title of this? Because the title kind of gives it away if you... Well, you gave me a brief little snippet intro to pique my interest in reading this. Barbara Kay, The Agony of an Attack Without Explanation and the Pain of Chaos.
Ah.
Okay. So, the attack without explanation. It was an attack. It has... Well, it's a fucking terrorist attack. Yeah. Ultimately, like, you cross a level of... I don't know. No, I can't. I won't broad stroke after telling you not to.
Well, no. There's a difference even in terrorist attacks where it's like, are you an individual doing something fucking stupid that you have no idea the outcome? You just figure it'll be violent and it'll get you some attention?
You know what? I will broad stroke on this. If you're driving a van into a crowd of people, you can't have any motivation that I would applaud under any circumstances. Even, like...
Yeah.
Just any extreme you can think of? Nope. If you're driving a van into a crowd of people? Nope. Just nope. So, yeah. You know what? Why does it matter if this had no... Okay. Before we get to why does it matter if this had any explanation or not,
And it did have explanation. She just don't like the explanation.
Yeah. The subtitle of this really gives it away. Knowing that an evil action is part of a pattern rather than a random act is the difference between feeling helpless and feeling purposeful.
So that's actually the same logic behind being incredibly paranoid and believing in conspiracy theories. The only reason to believe in a conspiracy theory is to not feel weak and powerless in a world that you do not control.
Oh, no. Alex Jones exists to make you feel purposeful when apparently your daily life does not in any way make you feel purposeful.
Mm.
If you really need to theorize on the motives behind driving people who drive vans into crowds of people to feel purposeful in your life... You have too many problems to be writing any opinions in the National Post.
Well, that is a problem.
Now I'm really broad-stroking, but this is just... Okay, well, here's why.
You know, this is a problem that I have with most columnists anyway, because they constantly are just looking for a reason to exist. Because it literally is just one comment away from being like, why do we pay you?
Nope. That's going to be segment three right there. Our thoughts on writing columns, because... Oh, no. So much fun. And so much fun to read, but way more fun to write.
Just, very fun
oh
to write.
Oh, my God, yeah. But anyway, back to Barbara Kay here. So you explained this to me with clearly some bent to it.
Yeah.
And so, of course, me, being me, went into it going, well, fuck that. I'm gonna look at this from the opposite perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And first,
I'm going to try to have some perspective on
the
it.
The introductory paragraphs to this are not anything, you know, that really... You know, yanks my chain all that much.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
She's talking about how most van attacks, and they apparently in the National Post have taken the time to post a long list of ISIS, ISIL, whatever inspired van attacks. Which I'm just that's
yeah. There's been enough van attacks that you can be like, no.
What's the point?
Here's the stats for van attacks.
Not the stats. Here's a full list of them. Let's glorify them more than statistics do. Anyway, she's framing this as a pattern. And then comments in, I think it's in the brackets here, yes, listed on a full page on Tuesday's National Post. Full page.
Mm-hmm.
With one of them committed outside a London mosque, the work of a non-Muslim man, claiming he was avenging an Islamist attack. So she's going on to make the point that this one stands out. This, and for anyone who hasn't connected the dots here yet, there was a, you know... van driven into a crowd of people in Toronto that killed how many people?
10. It killed 10. He's been charged with 10 counts of murder. Mm-hmm. I think injured 17, I want to say, something like that.
People are making a big to-do, apparently, about the cop who took down this guy.
Yeah, because he did his job very correctly.
He did his job very correctly and did not fill him full of holes.
And he was on camera, which is why everyone is making a big to-do.
Mm-hmm. But anyone willing to suddenly and quickly glorify the Toronto Police Department should YouTube search Toronto Police Department.
Oh, yeah. What is it? A stop and search?
Now, I was thinking more some little police brutality moments.
Oh yeah, but the stop and search is the unofficial, because it's supposed to be illegal, a policy that the Toronto police use to target predominantly black men.
Oh, yeah.
Or immigrant men.
Well, if we really want to get into a violence. Call it, if we really want to call it sins too, like, hi, you had a serial murderer targeting the gay community for fucking decades?
And you ignored
it? And you just ignored that shit?
And every week they roll out a new victim?
But when I get really cynical about all this, as husbando there yelled at me in the kitchen earlier, you know, they're making progress, which, okay, yeah, no, not gonna argue against that when we just said that this cop, you know, did his job.
Yeah.
Perfectly, I would say, or very close to.
The stats on it, the unofficial stats are rather, the numbers that cops like to throw around among each other is 60% of cops are good people.
Mm-hmm.
30% are kind of like, they're normal people, and in a good situation with good people, they'll do whatever the good people are doing. In a bad situation with bad people, they'll do what the bad people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
10% are fuckers.
Mm-hmm. I would say, I can't imagine any cop I've ever met and talked to arguing with those stats, really.
Yeah, so like,
the really creepy part of that, which I think we've all seen borne out to either ends of the spectrum, in small towns where there's not that many cops,
mm-hmm.
Oh man, that pendulum can fucking swing.
Yeah, if you get one really, really strong personality in a small detachment, and they're an asshole...
Not to say this has ever occurred in Nova Scotia. Not to say this is occurring in Nova Scotia. No, heavens, for why are we talking about this?
Visit wonderful Sydney. Unrelated.
Unrelated. Is this the opposite land episode? Wonderful Sydney?
Yeah.
There we go. Now I'm going to get letters.
Wonderful Sydney. It's so fucking nice. We can't actually say why, because, hey, look over there.
Direct your comments to Hey Faggot and Hey Tranny.
Hey, there's Frankie McDonald. That's all we've got for famous people.
Oh, no, what did we... What was the money-making Frankie McDonald idea?
Oh, shit. It was the beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We gotta contact Frankie about that.
That really calmed down that whole story quickly. Well, people must have drank beer, huh, in this part of the world. Okay, back to Barbara Kay. Because we'll get to this. Like, that irked me that she broke the pattern after a non-Muslim. Because, you know, because I get the logic. It was Muslim-y. It was Muslim adjacent. It was Muslim related.
Yeah, the previous attack in London. Because it involved her narrative of a clash of civilizations. So it doesn't actually matter in her narrative if the attack is perpetrated by a Muslim or against Muslims. She just wants that specific conflict. Whereas
I like the term Muslim-y. I think that's a serious sounding word to fit the serious, you know, necessity of this article. Muslim-y.
I'd like to say Muslim-ish. That this is Muslim-y is one of the Muslim-esque words that I've picked up from a friend of mine, a very dear friend who is a Iraqi comedian.
Oh,
and his sense of humor is impeccable, but. The thing that will stick with me until the day I die, and I'll blurt out if I ever have dementia and it will confuse people forever, is he was midway through a joke that was bombing, and he just said, "Hey, you guys like Michael Jackson? You got hit by, you got struck by a stolen airplane. Jihad." And he brought the fucking house down.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
I read about a Muslim comedian in New York. I can't remember her name. Someone should Google this and send it to us. I should be Googling it now, but we don't have time for that. That's on the air research. She introduced herself post 9/11 at a comedy show, like just within the year afterwards. And she said, "Hello, my name is," and I wish I remembered it here. Or at least that's what it says on my pilot's license.
Yeah. I remember like, that.
Bit of an uproar in the back, brought the house down in front.
Just, blah.
Fantastic.
I remember that was featured on a documentary hosted by Albert Brooks called Finding Comedy in the Muslim World.
We're going to look up that name because she was great.
It was a decent documentary.
We should yell at Barbara Kay some more.
Oh, we shall, but, you know, I kind of like to think that this is undermining her.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. Yeah, why are we focusing on...
Yeah, I'd rather explore the enjoyable things that come out of being multicultural instead of being a panicky little shit, especially when the situation doesn't actually have anything to do with her goddamn class of civilizations. It was an incel fucktard. And for those unfamiliar...
There we go. At least that's what it says on my pilot's license. Shazia Mirza?
Shazia
Mirza.
She's done stuff recently. I just can't think of it.
She's British? What? She's a British Muslim. She is of Pakistani heritage, known for her deadpan delivery. That joke only works in deadpan, and that's what's great. That I kind of love it. Yeah, we're sitting here lauding by name, as we should, a Muslim comedian. And I would love to go with Barbara Kay to one of her shows. Yeah. Oh, man, Barbara Kay, I'm sure you're listening. I think you should take us both to Shazia Mirza's next show. I would think that would be really fun. We can go backstage afterwards and all have a good laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Probably at your expense, Barbara, but, well...
Don't worry, if you bring security, no one will be, you know... offended, it's fine.
And if you bring Jonathan, we can stick him in the basement and forget him there.
Okay, so Barbara Kay was struck by a tweet put out by Toronto Sun's Lori Goldstein. Always a good idea to reference the Toronto Sun.
Oh, God, and Lori Goldstein.
In today's world, educate me for a moment on Lori Goldstein.
Lori Goldstein
is... he as fun as Jonathan Goldstein?
He's worse. He's...
Well, stop that.
No, he is the Toronto Sun's... right-wing... Alright, so there's this really fascinating thing in Canadian media where we have Jewish apologetics for racists. And so they will... essentially, if you're willing to be a Jewish writer and, like, apologize for other people doing really terrible things, and I don't mean, like, weighing in against Palestinians in the Israel-Palestinian debate. I mean, like, outright just being like, yeah, the blacks really did better under slavery. And it's like,
we can reference directly Faith Goldie's coverage of white supremacists in the States. And she's not Ezra, Jewish, but certain, like,
Ezra Levant is, though. And Ezra runs a network that gives neo-Nazis a place to shine, and that is so confusing on so many levels, except that he grew up surrounded by them, and this is a possibly some kind of, like, adapt and survive strategy?
I'm a master at ignoring Ezra Levant. I couldn't have told you that right now about him. You know what? I tuned in once, not to anything directly on television featuring him, of course, but to just, like... You know, I caught him talking.
Yeah.
And I just thought, that's someone whose freedom of speech I value greatly and should therefore completely ignore.
Yeah.
And I have a cultural blind spot. It's great. Can't tell you a thing about the man. Just, no. Occasionally I hear rage directed at him, and I go, why are you wasting breath on that? And I move forward. Speaking of wasting breath on things, Lori Goldstein on Tuesday, in today's world, I think we all know what we're thinking it could be. Why do you gotta be like that?
See, that's what
I mean. Why do you gotta be like that?
He's a racist pile of shit who just supports white nationalists when it's against, like...
Let's hope it isn't. That's the part that puzzles Barbara Kay. The let's hope it isn't. Not in today's world. I think we all know what we're thinking it could be. You know what? Lori, if you tweeted out, I think we all suspect this is Muslims, Muslim-related terrorism, Muslim-y, Muslim-esque. Here in my extended amount of characters Twitter now allows, I don't even know, is it at like 7,000 now or something? We'll pretend for Lori's sake that it is. I'll explain to you why I hope it either is or isn't Muslim adjacent. Mm. Because otherwise, what the fuck is the point in any of that tweet? Seriously.
Yeah.
I hope it is. I hope so. It's not. This is the catchphrase I thought of while reading this article for Barbara K. Barbara K., I have some pithy and little rhymey advice for you. It's not about hoping after a terrorist attack. It's about coping after a terrorist Ooh. Attack. You deal. You help people. You let investigators do their jobs bias-free. You let laws be enacted based on the results of those investigations.
Yeah.
Right, let's not pretend bias-free, but whatever.
But hopefully. We'll hope. Hopefully. Not some, like, charge.
Cope, Barbara K. Patriot Don't hope, act. Barbara K.
That should be a t-shirt. Not necessarily the Barbara K. one, but the first one. You don't hope against terrorism. You cope with terrorism.
So Barbara K. writes back.
Oh my god!
I know. I keep going back to her here. Writes back. What should we hope it is? And then she goes on. Should we merely hope it's merely a deranged individual? And she goes on about how it's easier to cope if it's part of Muslim-adjacent terrorism than if it's just some rando. Because, she says, when it's linked to, and she does give us, you know, the benefit of the doubt of going beyond jihadism for 1 second and saying if it is related to any ideology, be it jihadism or, you know, the obviously referential in this day and age for anyone without having to Wikipedia this, Bader-Meinhof gang in the 70s and 80s, we at least have something positive to do with our grief. This is straight up quoting Barbara Kay. We at least have something positive to do with our grief. We can transmute it into white-hot anger.
Yeah, which is, like,
our thoughts turn to probable suspects.
Just under incitement.
Analysis of the event, because we're all fucking inspectors here, of our security policies, because we are also all legislators here.
Yeah, that has
of ways to prevent another attack. And we do prevent many. It has nothing to do with us preventing it, other than, you know, being generally watchful citizens with logic at our disposal and, you know, self-preservation skills.
Yeah.
That does not extend to 5-minute hates or however length you're talking about with your white hot anger, Barbara Kay.
Yeah, no, that I personally I read that as incitement.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to agree with you because I just like to be contrary and it makes the show better, I think, when we do disagree. But that's fucked up.
I am frequently right when it comes to politics.
Most
people are always a little amazed by that, and yet
most people are a little amazed that big old gay pot smoking me is a little to the right as well when it comes to politics. Go figure.
No,
man, this is so bad, though.
So then, these people are—it's this weird pattern.
Barbara K goes completely off the rails, justifying her difference in reaction at all to a terrorist attack that killed 10 people.
Yeah,
we haven't even referenced the name of the person who killed these people, and in part, it's because I don't remember it right now. But in larger part, it's because I don't fucking want to.
Yeah, fuck him.
Don't glorify that shit. Just deal with it. Help people. Donate blood if you're not a big old Mo Canada. Anyway, back to Barbara Kay. She goes on about how this is an issue that should involve Jordan Peterson for some reason.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, because technically a fan of his is the culprit. No, wait, that's not the reason at all. She's not self-aware enough for that.
All right. But she feels this need for mental order versus mental chaos, which is getting a bit out there for a National Post column in my mind.
That's Peterson's own framing of his own fascist ideology.
This is so weird. Peterson's thing is weird.
That's from his book.
Peterson's quotes are super weird.
Yeah, they're mostly
chaos is where too. Chaos is where we are when we don't know where we are and what we are doing when we don't know what we are doing. It is, in short, all of those things and situations we neither know nor understand. Deepak, what are you saying?
That actually sounds a lot like Joseph Goebbels.
It's much more important that we tune in for Barbara Kay's prompting and order, quoth Jordan Peterson. Order is... really, you want to expand on order in this day and age?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Sure can you did. Look to the south? Can you turn your head to the south? Can you turn your head to the south and cough, Barbara Kay? Because I don't think you can.
He can fucking salute to the south. Hey! He knows exactly what he's saying.
Order is explored territory. It's the flag of the nation.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the value of the currency. Order is the floor beneath your feet. and your plan for the day. Order is the place where the behavior of the world matches our expectations and desires. And above all, quoth Barbara Kay in the middle, this, back to Jordan Peterson, where everything is certain, we're in order. We like to be there. In order, we're able to think about things in the long term. What the fuck does any of this have to do with what she's talking about? What order are you planning to take away from someone driving a van into 10 people? And why does that order that you plan to take away from this suddenly steer off into a need to imagine Justin Trudeau, again here, this is Barbara Kay, lecturing the country on diversity being our strength? And then her final line, which I do not understand, and I'm hoping you can explain to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is back to Goldstein at whatever that nonsense paper I try not to read is.
Mm-hmm.
He was steeling himself for news of a hijab attack that this time wouldn't be a hoax, that really was directly linked to spillover rage at the attack.
So what that means is Laurie actually really, really wanted all of this violence to have been perpetrated by a Muslim person so that he can hate them.
No, I think in another way, she's saying he's kind of virtue signaling that he hopes it's not that this time, when she's just making it an obvious, an obvious conclusion that if it is a Muslim adjacent attack, that there would be spillover rage at the attack, that there would be. She calls for a white-hot anger.
No, it's not him virtue signaling at all. It's him dog-whistling towards it and inciting her last line, thing. They're actually both attempting to incite and claiming their own surprise as being a reason for it.
Now she's at the end here. She's finding debates over ideological motives behind terrorist attacks exhausting. A merely deranged masochist can produce social unity. What are you talking about? You just finished wishing that this was a Muslim-adjacent attack.
Yeah. No, it's actually, it's classic, and I'm going to go straight there. It's classic fascist tactics, in which if you don't get the attack that you want, you simply point at an attack that occurs and say, well, regardless, we have to have something in store, so we might as well have something in store that takes care of everything. And
I don't know what you're talking about at all, but in completely unrelated news, I'm pretty sure communists burned down the Reichstag. I'm pretty sure they did, and you can blame it on them as a large group of people if that gives you a sense of mental order.
I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this,
I'm having too much fun quoting Barbara Kay.
I'm pretty sure Poland attacked that radio station. I'm pretty sure Poland attacked that radio station.
Oh my god. Oh, she's copping to extreme selfishness and saying I would have preferred it had been linked to an act of jihadism or something else linked to a clearer ideology or cause, because I like to be able to think about things in the long term. I prefer mental order to mental chaos. Okay, no, seriously, have you never watched Deep Space Nine in your life, Dominion Changeling Lady? I wish she had perfectly smooth features. Oh, Barbara Kay, can you get, like, a lot of Botox so you look like a founder?
You really should.
Because you sound like a founder. Oh my god. How does this... Okay, yeah. So I've just encountered this within the last, like, 30, 40 minutes. So what's the reaction to this so far?
Oh, the reaction is, wow, Barbara Kay, thanks for letting us know that you want there to be a race war, and this is how you respond to a terrorist attack, is to point at it and go, but it doesn't give me a good excuse to yell at Muslims.
So people are taking it in a cool, calm, measured fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, mostly shouting at her.
Which is exactly what any good columnist really wants.
Well, there's the problem, because every time you visit the page to read the thing, to share it with someone, to yell at her, to comment on it, they're making money.
See, I think it goes beyond that, and I want to get back to this in the last segment when we get a little self-referential here, but I kind of think that's fine, and I kind of, when people, you know, when I used to write a lot of opinion pieces, and I would get questions from people saying, like, do you really believe what you wrote? Like, you know, at the time, I would say the vast majority of it was true, or I was making it clear in it that it wasn't true.
Yeah.
That I, you know, was taking a counter perspective for the sake of, you know, it needed to be done. But no, a lot of the time, aside from being generally contrary in nature, I think a columnist is at their most fun, but also kind of at their most necessary when they're expounding a minority opinion. Because it does generate discussion. People wouldn't be having this conversation without reading Barbicane and getting outraged. But before you get high-dodging on me, there are serious limits to that and serious responsibilities with that.
Yeah.
And generating a 5-minute hate against anyone is not...
Yeah.
It falls... I'm not saying I'm not copying to perfection on my record in this realm, but, like, no, that falls well beyond.
Yeah, there's a difference between, say, taking an article where you can talk about how no one really discusses with anyone anymore because social media this and technology
that. No one talks to their neighbors. Talk to your neighbors, Canadians.
Or espousing, hey, why not find one thing from someone that you politically disagree with so that you... No, we're not doing that. We're going straight to actual, like, outright incitement, because incitement actually pays the bills now.
It's so fucking dog whistly. Like, yeah. That's what pisses me off, is you... And I'm not even saying to the point where you have to read between the lines. This is clearly something that was parsed well by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Judging from what you're saying, judging from my optimism in the readership skills of anyone who read this. But...
It's why the, do you the glory gonna, of Twitter is immediate so frustrating. Response you know from others in you, the industry. Yeah.
And you know eventually anyone you support politically is going to pull this out of the closet naturally, like, at some point or another.
Oh, yeah.
These tendencies. So why can't... Oh, it's so frustrating that anyone has to take that time.
That's the thing, is it... No matter what, it works out for Barbara Kay because it means people are discussing her, she's making money for the paper, she'll be referred to as if she is a person of influence by people who either are trying to take away from her or people who agree with her.
So what you're saying is I should extend my Ezra Levant policy to Barbara Kay.
Yeah. Also, my
Barbara love, Emil, while Yankee, we're on the Barbaras? The fuck.
Yes, Barbara Emil. Oh, God.
What other Barbaras? Walter's done.
Barbara
done.
Walter? Blah, 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 blah.
I just don't need the RuPaul Season 1 filter.
Oh, that's fair.
I feel like I'm good on Canada, you?
Yeah, no, that seems about right.
I feel like no one cares about our leader anymore now that Emmanuel Macron has wooed America, which I want to talk about a bit in part two.
Yes. I'm just trying to think if there was anything else.
I feel bad for Justin. He's not in any Americans' dreams tonight.
Oh, no. What will Andrew Scheer complains about now?
I like that we're doing it like he has any discernible Quebecois accent, let alone super bad Quebecois accent.
Super bad Quebecois. It is not super bad. This is how my cousin's talk.
You know, he's going to, like, go to, like, a bunch of Zumba classes or, like, do a whole bunch of CrossFit to, like, recover from Emmanuel Macron having speech-based sex with anyone political in America.
Yeah, no, somewhere right now, Trudeau is on the treadmill running, like, mile 50, and he's just hate-watching Macron. And he's like, I gotta be perfect.
I feel with speech-related sex with anyone in America, that might be the natural link up to segment two, and we should just sally forth into the America segment. All right,
let's do Sally Forth.
That's a great fucking drag name. Sally Forth.
Sally Forth.
Sally Fifth.
Sally Fifth. Oh,
ain't nobody knows Sally Fifth. Everyone stops at 4. I'm claiming that. I'm changing my drag name officially from Colleen Collect to Sally Fifth.
There we go. Oh my god.
You don't have to approve. You can have reservations. It's fine.
I'm taking Colleen Collect then.
Fuck off. No. Segment 2. America. Emmanuel Macron. What's on your mind? Because I've been chatty a lot for segment 1.
I actually, like, in terms of America, I've got nothing to say because...
Oh, Lord. This is the, like, rambles off the chain episode.
Yeah, because every now and then, stuff just kind of, like, ambles forward in a way that I'm just like, I'm bored. I'm going to go binge watch some TV. So, I've recently watched Lost in Space on Netflix, and I watched Troy on Netflix, and I watched Turn on Netflix, and I noticed that Melania Trump went to Barbara Bush's funeral, and Trump went golfing, and so everyone is like, once again, we're back on the Melania might be saved bandwagon.
Let's talk Barbara Bush for a moment.
Oh, yes.
That was a big America event. That happened.
Yeah, no, that's true.
It's weird because in a way,
Barbara Bush,
considering the magnitude of everything that goes on in America these days, nothing really crazy happened this past weekend.
No, it's been really, like, oddly quiet.
Yeah, like, just, no, America's at a 20 all the time, out of 10. So just, you know, well, you know, Barbara Bush died, and... You know what? Like, everyone likes to bash a Bush. I get that. And I also get that I hate the concept of never speak ill of the dead.
And she also has, you know, she's got a history of speaking out against progressive stuff. And she... There's a lot of times she ignored requests for assistance. And, you know, she's just as bad as fucking Nancy Reagan, so...
Nope. That's where I was going with all this. I was going to say that I have nothing to say bad about her because, you know what? And the only things I know about her from things I've read, I just don't care about her politically because, as we'll get to in a moment, of the magnitude of certain other first ladies' deceits. But no, she seemed like, she had a reputation for being a good mom and like,
yeah, no,
a nice lady, and I'm like, that's fine for me, that's fine. You know why? Because you're not Nancy fucking Reagan.
You're not Nancy fucking Reagan.
Nancy fucking Reagan.
Well, what I understand the difference is, Barbara, if you were drowning... Barbara would ignore you. Nancy would come over and dunk your head under further.
No. It's much simpler than that. No. If you were drowning, I think Barbara Bush would dispatch one of her children to go save you to display their athletic prowess.
Just Jeb and W running down the beach going, come on, I'm going to get there first.
I'm going to give it to her. I think she would have been genuinely concerned for your well-being if you were legit that far the end of this sort of restrained analogy if you were actually drowning in the sea. I think Nancy Reagan, I think she would have dispatched a security, like, Secret Service guy to rescue you. But then when you got on shore and she realized that you were either A, uninsured, B, gay, C, Hispanic, or D, Rock Hudson, then she would just deny you any medical assistance whatsoever and let you die on the beach. Alone. On a foreign beach. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, any listener out there, please Google Nancy Reagan, Rock Hudson. What a wretch.
Oh yeah, no, she's horrible.
Barbara Bush, rest peacefully. You were not Nancy Reagan. That should be on her. That's a great epitaph. Spawn some
you're,
bushes.
You're not Nancy Reagan.
No, under the cons column. Supported Bush 1.
Yeah.
Spawned Bush 2.
Ugh.
Probably in reverse order on the cons column.
Ugh.
Pros column. Spawn Jeb. Do not tell me, as someone who enjoys comedy, that Jeb is not a pro.
Jeb is definitely terrific for content. And almost unique because while he is terrific for content, he is also completely powerless. Mm-hmm. So you have no fear that he will continue existing and being terrific for content.
Nope. I'm highly entertained by him whenever he shows up. It's rare that I notice him there.
Please clap.
I know, right? pros column. Good mom, nice lady.
From what we hear.
Yeah, we'll give her that. Good mom, nice lady. Last mention in the pros column? Not fucking Nancy Reagan. That doesn't seem sacrilegious or inappropriate for a tombstone.
No, I don't think that seems... No, that seems very appropriate.
It's rather honorable. Let's move on from death and get to sexier topics. Emmanuel Macron.
Now, he's very unpopular back in France, where despite winning an election 2 years ago on a kind of a landslide against a white nationalist... he's turned out to be quite a neoliberal, and anyone who knew anything could have said, yeah, no shit.
I'd like to ask a serious question about the French electorate.
Mm-hmm.
What would satisfy the French electorate?
Nothing.
That's...
It's the French electorate.
I feel like we could have been talking about any French president ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would have been that exact same statement.
The most French thing I have ever seen... was a protest near riot by champagne workers.
I would like to see a spoiled ballot that just said, democracy is a sexy lie. Would you like a baguette and a cigarette?
Liberté, fraternité, Beyoncé.
Yes. That's the most French thing I've ever thought of.
I love that bit of graffiti.
So, did you catch any of the coverage today about this whole visit speechiness thing? Is there a dinner tonight? Is that what's going on?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely going to be a dinner, and if I recall, no Democrats are allowed.
No, this is a Democrat and I believe media-free event.
Mm-hmm. Which is just stupid, because Trump
should have... Who's going to have sex with the women drunkenly?
Well, who the fuck's going to be taking all the photos of Trump?
Emmanuel Macron will have
close.
Sex with his teacher drunkenly.
Oh, yes.
But aside from that, like,
I'm going to bang my teacher, ah!
Just young waiters and, I don't fear for the Secret Service. The ones that are into it are into it, and the ones that aren't, they're armed to the teeth, so...
Yeah, well, the room's full of Republicans, so the page boys will have to watch out.
Well, that was the whole crux of my previous waiter joke. Yeah,
so the waiters are old enough to be employed.
It's a drunken Republican Party event. I'm pretty sure that this is a Trump White House. There is no one logical person in the Trump White House.
No,
the page boys are still working late despite the circumstances, and they're, pardon the pun, fucked. Oh, dear. So apparently Emmanuel Macron, said a bunch of, super nice things about Trump this morning, and Trump said a bunch of super nice things about Macron.
Yeah.
And then Macron stood in the, before a joint session of Congress, as you pointed out, in front of the, how do you say it?
The fascisti.
Yeah, it's that symbol that nobody in America understands represents Italian fascism in any way. So
it's the faggot with the axe.
Ah. That would be great. There's an offensive symbol in your Senate. There is not. Fuck you. It's a faggot with an axe. Take down that faggot with an axe right now.
Take down that faggot with an axe.
Kay. No problem. Barbara Kay. Oh, yeah. Anytime. Yeah. That's Barbara Kay with me. Yes. And then he stood in front of this, faggot with an axe.
Mm-hmm.
And, to an extent, set Trump on fire,
mm-hmm.
which was very nice. It's always nice to see Trump
and
metaphorically set on fire. It's always nice to see it metaphorically.
And achieved a wonderful French language pun. Not that it was in the French language. But
the rule of Lou?
La rule of Lou. I love his pronunciation on that. No. The classic, this is how a French person makes a pun in English. There is no planet B. See what I did there? Huh?
That was great.
Huh?
That was great.
Huh? I really like that writing, but that is so French.
That was great. There was so much hilarity in this speech. He stood up for a new multilateralism that is rooted in the liberal liberal democratic perspectives that we apparently enacted. Well, no, I'm not going to be that guy that we enacted after World War II. And then all the Republicans stood up and clapped.
Yeah.
And I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And then he expounded on the necessities of protecting all minorities and the Republicans, including Mike Pence. And what's his name? The dorky one from Teen Beat magazine.
Oh, Paul Ryan.
That's him. Who, at least in his case, he doesn't discriminate against minorities. He also wants to disenfranchise the elderly, who are not really a minority.
Yeah, I will give it to Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan doesn't hate anyone.
Well, no, he just wants to disenfranchise everyone.
He just doesn't want ever any money going to anyone, ever.
Yeah.
That's all that he wants. He just wants money to be left alone and to never, ever interact with something like an economy.
Total shame you're retiring. Total shame, Teen Beat. Anyway, Teen Beat and Mother Dearest there.
Mm-hmm.
The Mommy VP.
Dearest.
Yeah, Mommy Dearest. That's oh. No, Mother Dearest with that one. Teen Beat and Mother Dearest stood up and clapped when Sexy Pants McFrenchface there went on about the need to protect minorities, which is just a hoot.
Here's the question, though. Which one was just following the other?
Oh, I think they just were... I think they have a spring that activates under their seats. But fortunately, it had some serious Republican sycophants manning the springboards. Because when Emmanuel Macron said we have... Man, there were a lot of, it was the most repetitive speech I've ever heard, which, of course, all the media called shockingly presidential for being heard in America these days, which is mm-hmm. true. But still, that delightful, every previous president... level of dignified, repetitive nonsense as opposed to the current ones.
Yeah.
Undignified, repetitive
At
nonsense.
At no point during the speech did he make fun of a disabled person. Personally.
I was distracted by a small pad thai related house fire, so I may have missed that in a...
If
in
that
a
pad thai was burned, I didn't notice.
Thanks.
It was very good.
Oh, our cooking show will follow inevitably. Someday. Someday.
Oh, God. That would be an amazing show. I would destroy that show.
There was something else hilarious that Pensy and Team Beat stood up and clapped for.
Pensy and Team Beat.
I wish I could remember what it was. It was equally funny to Defending Minorities. It may have even been better. But the one that they couldn't bring themselves to stand or clap for was when Macron was talking. He was talking about the way we act, the way we counter different things. He went on about fake news, which was initially weird when I thought, you know, that's, I know another president that goes on and rails against fake news, but then went on essentially about the need for truth and not just making shit up, which was nice to see him add another spark onto the Trump fire.
It's important to say.
Yes, but then he got to fighting that we must, the need to combat this with that. The need to combat this with that. We face this with that. Not und, sorry. Whoops.
Und.
Oh, und. I'm in trouble with our French listeners.
What?
Anyway. but then he said we must combat global threats, I believe it was, with science. And Mother Dearest.
Yeah.
And Team Beat sat there.
Yeah.
Sat there. Didn't twitch. Not one of their fake muscles moved at all.
Teen Beat is still making money off of donors that don't believe in science and climate change, and Mother Dearest simply isn't allowed to acknowledge that the word exists.
It was amazing. It was amazing. The control. They didn't... There was no... You know, it was obvious that they were springboarding so many of the comments, which... And there were a lot of, you know, there were a lot of standing ovations from everybody, and then many from the Democrats, which also will be very funny when it comes to enacting any of the grand dreams he kind of alluded to. But yeah, couldn't for science. You can't clap or stand for science.
No, couldn't do it. Even though, it's the reason that America is the financial success it is, the post Second World War industrial and scientific explosion. Nope.
He did go on at length about how he does not understand the need for, or the attraction to strongman leaders and enhanced powers and all kinds of things. Basically, there was a large segment of the speech that I heard that I just visualized him sticking his thumb very firmly against one side of his nose while spitting on a Trump MAGA poster.
Well, curiously, that actually may have been a reference more to Putin, because there are three...
What's the difference again?
Oh, well, the difference is that since Macron is leader of one of the primary benchmarks of military standard in Europe and in NATO outside of America, he actually has to deal with Putin on a day-to-day, like, tactical basis.
I meant the difference between Trump and Putin.
Oh, no, that, I'm saying that he doesn't have to deal with Trump. He has to actually deal with Putin.
No, but I fail to understand the premise where there's a difference where dealing with Trump is not dealing with Putin.
Oh, he's dealing with Putin direct, not through someone.
Not through a subsidiary like Trump.
Yeah, no, he's dealing with proper. He's dealing with the fact that if it wasn't, if Merkel and Germany weren't there, it would be all on him to protect Europe at the moment, because the Brits aren't going to do shit.
Look, Theresa May is busy. She has many wheat fields to run through.
Yes, there are many apartment complexes to burn down. And then go,
no,
ooh, that was terrible.
That was good.
Oh, so bad.
Don't forget the shockingly high number of Ulster nonsense parties that hate things like gays, abortions, and all kinds of other good things.
Yes.
Well, oops, gays and abortions and other good things.
Gays, abortions, other good things.
Whatever, the right to them is good. Eat it.
Have some or don't. No one cares.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tiny American flags for all.
Tiny, just little hipster vest pins that just say, it's your body, it's your choice. You know what, America? In the America segment, if you want to be one of your live free or die libertarians, if you want to be a sovereign citizen and you can't embrace the concept that you should only vote for people who believe that it's your body and therefore it's your choice, what happens to it on that level? Fuck you.
It's funny how everyone who says live free or die never dies. They don't live free, but they never die. Like, they just keep complaining.
It's true. It's true. I
live free or die. Really? You've got a driver's license. Isn't that against your base philosophy? Well, fuck you.
That's pretty great. It's, you know what, as sloganeering goes, like, if I was to visit a state, which, nope, not while there's orange at the head, nope. But seriously, New Hampshire, I would consider it based on the bravado of your license plates.
You'd think that New Hampshire you'd think that it would come from a Texas,
you fuck.
A more goddamn interesting fucking state.
Yeah.
Arizona, where it's like, live free or you die.
No.
Here's your options.
No.
You can live in the middle of the desert.
No.
Completely free, or you can die in the middle of the desert. Again, completely
Arizona's
free.
Arizona's is live briefly, then die, because it's all ancient Republicans who are retired and living in gated communities.
And New Mexico is live free.
Don't broad stroke, Mickey.
Crack and methamphetamine. And then die.
What's Texas?
Texas is complicated.
Now be careful, because
Texas is complicated.
Not secret love for Texas.
Complicated.
That's a great one. Texas's license plates should just say it's complicated. Big but complicated.
Big but complicated.
Yes.
The best.
It's all bigger and more complicated in Texas.
The best definition of Texas is just a gif of Hank and Bobby Hill standing next to each other, and Bobby looks at Hank, and Hank doesn't look at Bobby. That is Texas.
Wow. Wow.
I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's like, that's Texas, because, like, Texas will always be, like, this stoic, proud thing of the past that has this vibrant potential future, but, like, it can't acknowledge it, but at the same time, that vibrant potential future is just going to grow into the same stoic past, and it's going to ignore that vibrant potential future.
Look, Texas has more confidence when it comes to Texas than America has confidence when it comes to America.
This is true.
And we're Canadian. How am I not going to look at Texas and just be like, God damn, man. Like, you go, girl.
You wake up every day and you go, I sure
man,
am!
Man, what's that new Amy Schumer movie? I want Canada to wake up one day with the confidence of Texas.
Oh, God.
Yes. That would be great.
Get the fuck out of my way.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Is it Texas? Everything's fucking huge up here. It's frozen, but it's huge.
I know some people from Texas. One of them is actually, like, you know how proper Texan ladies, you call them Miss whatever their name is, even though, like, if they're married and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know one of them, and, like, they are fascinating people.
Oh, yeah.
Just fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I married a young Scottish-Canadian gent who thinks occasionally, say twice or three times a year, he's a big-haired Texan lady. It's an enlightening evening. At points, it's even an enjoyable evening.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? Unlike Barbara Kay, I value enlightenment that comes from unexpected chaos.
Yeah.
I don't need order around every corner. So when I wake up in bed some days with the ginger man dressed as a Texan lady, I'm fine with that. Barbara Kay would be fucking shitting bricks. God, at least it's not a Muslim Barbara Kay. Done with America. Are you?
We're done with America. We're done with you, America.
I'm kind of into this sachet away onto the next segment theme we've got going here.
Right, it's working really well. And look,
No breaks. This isn't a unionized show.
We can do it. We can do it.
We don't have to do it. So it's you know,
also that.
It's also not a non-unionized job show. But it is what it is, and it's segment three.
In the name of or the word of Zangief, you get paid.
Not yet. Have we decided what this segment's called?
Because
the other two have kind of clear. Well, segment one, I suppose, is just local, which can mean whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I can't wait till we talk about Earth as local.
Local slash.
The asteroid is coming. Segment one.
We're all gonna die. So hello, Alpha Centauri. How you doing? We're not here anymore.
Personal perspectives on print.
Personal perspectives.
I know we know what it's not being called.
Oh, God. Oh, we have to keep it away from that. anyway, so yes, columnists.
Yeah, columning.
Writing columns.
Loved it. Loved it.
Enjoyable because it's just... okay, imagine being paid to simply give your opinion and then have people go, yeah, you're right. Take that ego stroke and add money to it. That's my columnist.
Oh, no. I guess I was just maybe either terrible or too contrary because... I occasionally got that was great and I agreed with you. But by and large, it was, you know, I got... the best one I ever got was a column that got sent back to me and there was a picture, for various reasons, of a dildo in the column.
I remember that.
And it got sent back with an arrow pointed at this big, floppy, flesh-colored cock, like... very cock-reminiscent dildo that said Blake's mouth here. Which, you know, grand scheme, sure.
They were trying to be offensive.
I'm so proud. I didn't get much actual hate mail. The little bit I got was, because we live here, very personal and terrible. But that made me proud. That made me laugh so hard that someone had that visceral of a reaction.
Yeah.
It's just, and you know, and I know Cape Breton, so I didn't think that that was meant with hate so much as that was meant with ire, and ire's different.
Yeah.
Ire would punch you in the face in a bar, so you don't go drinking in certain districts on certain islands that are, you know, still part of this province, whether certain people would like it or not.
Yeah.
But ire wouldn't, like, you know, ire's not going to come to your office with a gun, for Christ's sakes, which was an occasional thing that was ballyhooed.
Yeah, it always came up.
Exactly. But, like, no, it was... I was very, very happy with that. That was great. I touched someone.
And a wonderfully strong reaction. I think the strongest reaction...
So artistic.
The strongest reaction I ever got, not counting the fake ads, because some of those got those lots
were,
of fun.
Those were perfection.
Oh, I...
Those were always
those
perfection.
Those are part of my permanent portfolio. I loved making... So what I would do is, because the magazine had no advertising whatsoever, I could have a lot of fun with readers by making ads that looked like actual ads that were already out there, or ones that just followed basic ad design. Sometimes I would get responses from people who thought they were real, as with the previously mentioned Moncton Chamber of Commerce.
Some very this is that, the obviously serious reactions.
Some like, very, very this is that
so good.
Kind of
so
reactions.
Good. No, those, any time, okay, so we once upon a time we shared a cubicle wall.
Yeah.
And anytime there was a peek over the cubicle wall, and can you look at this? So just dying of laughter. So happy to be given a chance to weigh in on it at all. And just more dying of laughter.
Yeah.
Like, very, very, very fun. Yeah.
But yeah, the strongest reaction I ever got from a column, a negative reaction, was the title came first, because it, how could it not?
In a minute, I want to get back to the danger of that.
Yeah,
cross cubicle approval. By the way, against the world. Yeah, sorry.
But we used to have to write one column a week, kind of thing. It was just pure your opinion. And in Halifax, there are a few. Okay, maybe a few, depending on. In Halifax, there is a culture that a few things are untouchable, and one of them is the donaire, which is. randomized meat that's supposed to be mostly lamb, sliced into a pita with lettuce, tomato, onion, and a sauce that is, it's vinegar, sugar, and powdered milk.
You've done better than any cook show outside of this region ever. Any cooking segment on any...
Yeah, that's all a Halifax donaire is. If you add anything else to it, you can go fuck yourself. And I say that as someone who is explaining a story about how I wrote a column called We Don't Need Another Hero, spelled G-Y-R-O.
Nice.
Talking about how a city shouldn't attach themselves so strongly to a single incident, which is actually more a play on... Or a single foodstuff, which is actually more a play on the collapse of the fish stock. And that's the point, is when I tell jokes, they're usually layered with stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get, and in this case, I got I got a response from people who they see that first layer and they don't go digging for anything else, and they were, I got banned permanently from the Donair crawl, the Halifax Donair crawl, for pointing that this is essentially just points to how pedantic and small we are, where we go, we have this one food, let's make everything about this one food, instead of having some kind of organic growth into, like, New York pizzas.
In fairness, there is nothing organic about a donair.
This is absolutely true. That was definitely invented either in a lab or dug up from a mine.
It's mostly sheep-based, and then it's cloned from Dolly. That's, yeah. Essentially.
Oh, something was revealed about Dolly within the last month. Someone tried to kidnap her. But they got in the room with Dolly and all the other clones, and they couldn't tell which one was Dolly.
Oh, I hate you.
So they didn't kidnap her.
This is why you don't do stand-up.
That's a real fucking... That actually happened.
This is why the world shouldn't do stand-up. That's terrible. Oh, my God. Without naming any names at all... I caught holy hell for writing just what I thought was a short, sarcastic column on a business card of an official that had a number of different local languages on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Including Gaelic and French, and I believe, I think it was...
It had...
one Chinese dialect, either Mandarin or...
Chinese and Mi'kmaq.
Yeah, and my point at the time wasn't that, you know... These are not languages worth acknowledging or protecting or using in daily life. If you are going to learn these languages, that's great.
Yeah.
But virtue signaling by having them on your business card when I doubt you speak, when I doubt you're a polyglot.
Plus, if I recall, he had kind of, like, tweeted a photo out of it, so he was, like...
I can't imagine how bragging. It came to my attention otherwise.
Yeah, but it was very much bragging.
Oh, my God. The ire... which is not nearly so charming when it's so close at hand, and exhibited by people in positions of authority, especially. Like, but supporters and all kinds of people, just linguists, for Christ's sakes. Like, man, sometimes you misjudge the mood on something you think is innocuous. And
yeah. Oh! How about the time that I knew exactly what I was doing in terms of, like, moods and, like, I judged this perfectly. It wasn't innocuous, though. It was during the film strike. So a couple of years ago, the local and TV production people, which is a loud but small segment of the province, got upset at a change the Liberal government was making to their tax credit program. Mm-hmm. So in Nova Scotia, if you are a production coming in from out of province... you get tax credits, and tax credits out the ass. You essentially get handed a blank check that you fill in at the end, and it takes care of your expenses.
You might be overstating it, but you might be overstating it.
I'm just barely simplifying it, because the real details of it are only determining what quotas you have to hit before you get that blank check. Now, in America, you don't get that shit. In America, you either film in Hollywood where everything is tax deductible or free to begin with, or you pay out the ass. What they do with small industries like Nova Scotia and New Zealand with the Lord of the Rings and various other ones is they go to them and they essentially blackmail them by saying, listen, we can put you on the map. We can have our production here. With, you know, just this one production, which we swear will spurn on an industry, but you're going to have to give us all of our demands. Mm-hmm. And I was pointing out that capitulating to an industry that already doesn't make us money, it only makes itself money, isn't a good way to progress as a province. It's just being used.
I get, on the other side, that... many local jobs legit were at stake.
Yeah.
I do get that, and I do care about that. I do. But the tone of necessity...
Yeah, and their of jobs... Of
the tone of necessity from people... Because the tone of necessity from people that are employed by the film industry, I completely understand. stand up for yourselves. You work for the film industry. I get it. Of course you're going to feel this is the most necessary thing. Yeah. But the tone of necessity that I saw from people who were screaming and railing against subsidizing the Yarmouth Ferry on a daily basis was fucking lampoonish. It was nonsense. And the worst part was, wouldn't it just be a miracle if anyone making those two arguments would have noticed any cognitive dissonance? But there wasn't. Never. There was no acknowledgement of it. And you call it out, and you just get railed at for it, and with no acknowledgement of maybe there is some equation between the two.
Yeah.
None.
And the truth is that even with the most successful things that come out of Nova Scotia's film and television industry, they're either so cliche, niche, or they're talking about somewhere else that it doesn't actually matter. The Mist is the most successful thing in terms of like reaching American audiences, and all of that shit happens in Derry, Maine. So you don't even know that it's Nova Scotia unless you're from Nova Scotia and recognize, oh, there's the Bedford Place Mall.
I'm super fine with Nova Scotia standing in for Derry, Maine, and creating jobs in my backyard and all kinds of that. And you know, it's always fun to meet a celebrity in Halifax. That's very easy. And you get interviews, and there's all kinds of spawn off and all kinds of economic benefits, and I get that. And I'm willing, legit, as well. I'm not so fiscally conservative that I won't acknowledge a happy willingness to pay some tax dollars to support that. I will, because we do live where we do, and it is hard to get any fucking thing off the ground. So
this is true.
If it has any knock-on effect, let's support it a reasonable amount that is at least slightly lower than, or at its farthest extreme, equal to the knock-on economic effect that it has.
Yeah.
But that was not the demand in my view of it at all.
No, it was more just... write the check, don't rock the boat. Write the check, don't rock the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because...
That was also the same slogan used by the Yarmouth Ferry.
No, it's true. And then it... that one got canceled, and then another one came, and it got canceled.
What's the current status of that nonsense?
It is... I believe it's been purchased by another group and is still going, but thankfully at the moment there's no provincial money in it.
Oh, God, finally.
But we did have to buy Bar Harbor's fucking new dock for them.
I remember that. Yes, yeah. we had to fund all kinds of security upgrades and nonsense. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, no, writing columns on things like the Yarmouth Ferry was boring.
Yeah.
That was boring because it was just like, let me say what everyone's saying in a different tone of voice. My favorite things to do were not necessarily to be contentious about an argument, although that was certainly very fun. It was to take something that I knew if everyone was paying attention to, they would strenuously argue against. But no one was paying attention. So I was going to strenuously argue against and just start throwing stones until someone paid attention to the breaking glass over there, or at least the ponging of innocent, unnoticed commentary stones falling away as they bounced off.
The most fun I ever had with them were ones where I could just... I could do the teacher thing where I just like, hey, I bet you didn't know the context of this, and one history lesson later, I'm 2.5 fucking pages, you know, through and talking about something that if you jumped to the end of the article, you would have no fucking clue how it connected to the beginning, but...
In this liquored province?
Yeah.
Railing against the NSLC.
Oh.
Not for anything they do. Not for anything they do at all, for any of the facts about the way they're made up legally and the way they're funded by who and the way they fund what. Not about any of that, no. About the argument that anyone ever made that privatized liquor industry on a provincial scale was worse on, as far as I could tell through researching, because it made me angry all the time.
Yeah.
Through any segment at all. Drunk driving rates? Nope. Carding at liquor stores? Nope. Pricing? Nope. Availability of selection? Nope. And general drinking rates? No, nothing. Just, no. Yeah. And
it simply exists because it exists.
And anytime anyone tried to tweet me to a link to Mad Canada, you want to see Mad Canada. Oh my god. Nothing. Oh, if you're going to be biased and you're going to be believed by everyone, I will despise you. And
yeah.
No matter what your motives. No matter what your motives.
But
we're all against drunk driving.
But they're just, your mother's against drunk driving.
don't drunk statistic.
But just, the mothers no. against drunk drive. Don't you believe every word they say without questioning?
Ugh.
Aren't you're supposed to believe every word they say without questioning?
It depends. Am I me or am I pretty much fucking everyone?
There's white crosses on the highway. Don't you want to believe that they're right? That mother against drunk driving is completely right about the context of every single one of those?
I'm so angry about this. If it isn't taken, I'm actually going to go back on Twitter, but I'm going to start an account called Mad Canada with 1D. I'm going to do it right now. We're going to end the show so I can do that. You down with that?
Yeah, we're down with that.
All right, well, bye. Thanks for listening. Who have you been?
Michaela Gorman.
I might be Mad Canada. You don't know. I haven't had time to check it. I've been Blake Hunsley, though.
I used to be in charge of this program.
This was a bit of an episode for me. This is great. I feel like an idiot abroad where suddenly it's all about me, except I'm not angry about it.
Yeah, well, you know, Carl Pilkington did very well out of that.
Tune in for the next episode when we finally get tons of Hey Faggot email, not so much Hey Tranny. Have you gotten any yet?
Nothing yet.
Damn it.
I know. It takes a little bit of time, but, you know, once the comments and the money start coming in, what we really need to do is say something super offensive.
I was just thinking I was gonna get you to clip that damn it reaction so we can replay it when I start getting bags and bags of hate mail.
Damn it!
Remember the days?
Remember the days when people left us alone and I wasn't afraid to walk outside?
Part of that, no.
No. Goodbye!